Hey guys, I cannot wait for you to see this episode. I have Rick Ornelas here, and he is phenomenal. Like a beautiful spirit, beautiful soul, and also you're just really driven to help as many people as he can. This conversation was so good as we talked about his book, 12 Hours of Heaven. We talked about iSpark Change, which is a growing massive community of people that are there to help each other. I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. Let's do it. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so excited you're here. I freaking love doing podcasts, and the reason I love it is because of communities like you. You guys have gotten me at the top 1% podcast to listen to in the country and over 100,000 downloads. You guys are the bomb, okay? So you guys know that I go around this amazing planet looking for the best humans I can find, and I found another good human, y'all. So I am so thrilled to introduce you to Rick Ornelas. I hope I said that right. And he's a guiding light for those aspiring to turn adversity into opportunity. Now, Rick's story is a stunning reminder that even in your darkest moments, we can find our calling, right? So after a divine awakening during the challenges of 2020, Rick rapidly authored the bestseller, 12 Hours of Heaven, Lessons for a Better World. You know this conversation is going to be good, right? So he ignited a global movement with the iSpark Change. And he's not just a best-selling author, but an esteemed success coach who empowers entrepreneurs and leaders to break free from the shackles and soar. So I am stoked, Rick, that you are here because I have an amazing audience. But I love having amazing people like you to come on to because I know you are really trying to impact the world. And that's the platform I'm trying to develop. So Rick, welcome to Straight Talk. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much, Nina. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. Me too. I am too. I read your bio. We didn't even have an intro call. That's how much I was like, I want Rick. No. Let's just get him on. We're good. So Rick, I do want to get to know you though. So the first question out the gate is always the same, and it's who are you? So who are you, Rick?
Well, I whenever I'm asked this question, Nina, the first thing that always comes to mind is that I'm a father and I'm a family man because my family is my driving force for everything mm-hmm. that I do, and my family and my faith. And I know some people would say you should probably put faith first, and I just think they're one's a natural extension of the other. So I've been married to my wife for almost 28 years. We have three, you know, grown daughters, and they're all doing incredible. Good. And beyond that, profession and in life, I'm someone who is always seeking to love and give and serve others and make them better, help them to become better. I seek to improve myself every day. And so that's what I do for others is to help, you know, guide them along their journey and improve them in whatever way, whether it's personally, professionally, you know, in their business, help grow their business, lots of different ways. But all of them are all wrapped around just helping them to become a better version of themselves.
What made that happen for you, right? That spark to really help other people? Because I feel like for me, you know, as I was younger, I was a little bit more selfish. It was more preservation, right? Trying to survive and, you know, all of that. But at one point, because of all the traumas and stuff in my life, I also shifted into really helping others. So was there a moment like that for you, a catalyst and a moment for you that changed perspectives for you, or were you always somebody who wanted to serve others?
I think it's a little bit of both, Nina, honestly, because my parents raised myself and my sisters to have a heart of service. So from, mm-hmm. you know, from a young age, we would do things to help others. And my father was the kind of individual that would give someone the shirt off his back, you know, to use an old cliche. And so that was always there. Now, similarly to what you shared, I did go through that time of being selfish and being arrogant and not focusing so much on others. And, you know, in my teenage and early 20s mm-hmm. type of thing. And I think that the biggest catalyst would be my wife and then my daughters would be to starting a family, because then it's not all about yourself, right? And I even fought that after my first two daughters were born, there was still some selfishness in there. Some time where I would, you know, go out at night and go to the gym for hours and play basketball and come home late and, you know, things like that, that I would have done when I was single. And I just continued to do those things even after, you know, having a family. And so having the family was the first catalyst. And then, for those that had read in any of my bio, is a major car accident was the next one that really changed things and caused me to evaluate my life and what was important to me.
Is that what happened in 2020 for you?
So this was much earlier. So this was, it's all connected and it connects back to 2020. This goes back to 2000. So this goes back to 2000. When, as I said, I was a young father, had two daughters though. My daughters were 1 and 4. We were coming back from a children's birthday party about 2 hours south of where we lived in California at the time. And so we're driving back and it starts to rain really hard, and it was the first rain in a long time. And so the roads were really slick and my car didn't have the greatest tires back then. It was a company vehicle, ironically, but it didn't have the greatest tires. And we're driving back and being my younger, arrogant self, probably driving faster than I should have and not paying as close attention, you know, being very cocky and how I was going about it. And I remember, you know, my wife and I discussing pulling over because we saw everyone else pulling over. And then thinking, well, it was late on a Sunday. We had to get the kids home. You know, we were still a few hours mm-hmm. from home. We didn't want it to get dark. We didn't want it to be worse driving in the dark. So we continued on. And I lost control of the vehicle where we spun from the slow lane across 4 lanes. Mm. We're about to hit the center divider. And then for some miraculous reason, we did not. And then we spun the other way across all 4 lanes, went off the shoulder up a dirt embankment and hit a brick wall and flipped over completely and then landed back on the wheels.
Wow.
And, the roof was smashed down to, you know, like eye level, and the glass was all shattered and the side was all smashed and shattered. And miraculously we were completely unharmed. And
wow.
Eyewitnesses thought we were, you know, seriously injured or killed. They called 911 and the accident report, you know, said we shouldn't have been so fortunate. And that accident really caused me to reflect on what had happened and what was important to me and how I was spending my time. And so, as I said a minute ago, is that really caused me to then be more dedicated to my family and focus more on them and on others too. And, you know, being more
what a lesson.
Bringing more out what was I knew inherently, but I wasn't living.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had ingrained in me, but I wasn't living that way.
What a scary but beautiful lesson, huh? I think, you know, so we take so much for granted in our lives. You know, a lot of my mindset and shift started shifting when I started to be grateful for everything. Mm-hmm. As opposed to complaining for everything. And when I took that challenge on, I think it was like 2015 or 14 or whatever it was, I said, every day I'm going to get up. And if I can't find 3 things to be grateful for, I'm not getting up. And so it started with, you know, I'm grateful to breathe. I'm grateful to breathe. Cause that's all I was so in a state of like anger and depression that I really couldn't think of anything, but I knew that I had thought because my brain was working and I had air because I was breathing. When you start that way, you start to really appreciate what's around you. And I'm sure that that for you, well, one, you know, I'm a person of faith, right? I believe in God, right? So I really believe that he will protect us through these things, but he'll also just show us a lesson through that, Rick, because that could have been such an ugly situation, right? You know, that could have been losing your children or your wife, you know, or you being severely injured. So, you know, praise God for that. And thank God that you got the lesson, right? Because girls need their dads, you know, being a woman who really wasn't raised by my father or and hurt by my stepfather. But as I see my husband with his daughter or see the strength of women who have good dads, right? Like who have strong dads. It's just something about that. So Rick, good for you for learning a lesson and not coming out of that maybe more angry or more selfish, right? Because there is another direction to go, right? So I'm glad you did that. I'm glad. That's
yeah, a and super I, and good I lesson. Didn't I'd say, Nina, that you know, I did learn the lesson pretty early because I went through a period of a couple months of a lot of reflection and everyone is like, oh, it's a miracle. You know, you should have been killed and you weren't. And, you know, kind of like that, why did this happen? Or, you know, why didn't something worse happen? You know, asking all those questions. Right. And so I did, it was pretty loud and clear, you know, what I did with it. I think it took me many years of really, really letting that lesson seat into my heart and into, you know, who I was. I mean, I started I started being more present with my family. I started being more grateful. It wasn't until years later that I started journaling gratitude on a daily basis and doing more of the tangible steps to really focus on becoming that better version.
That's so good. I'm sure your girls appreciate that, being that you are outnumbered, a wife and three girls. You are outnumbered, my friend.
Yes, for sure.
That's so funny. So talk to me about the your book, The 12 Hours of Heaven, right? Lessons of a Better World. What sparked that? What is that?
This is where it all ties together. So in that period of reflection after the accident, my mother had given me a little guardian angel pin, a little gold pin. And she said, I want you to put this in your car, you know, your new car. So I stuck it on the visor up there, this little pin. And she you know, was convinced that, you know, our guardian angel had protected us. And that's why we were alive and everything. So one day I'm sitting up there kind of daydreaming, staring up at that guardian angel pin. And then this idea for this story hits me like I had just watched it as a movie. Like it was very clear. Like I had just walked out of the theater and I thought, this is a pretty special story. And so I said, I need to write this. So I started writing. I typed up, you know, maybe a page in a Word document. And then, as I said, those lessons took a while to see. I just went on back to life and didn't ever continue it. Never, you know, I think about it here and there and like, oh, I don't have time to write that. You know, I'm raising a family, whatever excuses I gave myself. Well, in 2020, when the pandemic hit and quarantine started and everyone went in lockdown and, you know, you're stuck in your house. Then all of a sudden I had that gift of time that I said was always my excuse. And I had been having this urge, this message for probably at that point, maybe even up to like 2 years, thinking like, wow, I really should write that book. You know, I kept remembering it and thinking about it. And at that time, like I said, I was more focused on gratitude. I had been journaling gratitude for a few years at that point. I had been reading a lot of scripture. There was a lot of things I was doing that I hadn't done, you know, back in 2000. And so I, you know, as I like to say, is that I was becoming, you know, God was molding me into a better Rick, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess everything lined up that I was ready to write the story and that I had time. So in April of 2020, I started writing and I went about it very methodically. Okay, I'm just going to write this book, you know, 500, 750 words a day and write. And that's where, you know, everything changed because I went through this really deep spiritual connectedness and felt like the story was just being given to me. As a friend of mine put it, she said, "Oh, you're receiving divine downloads." Because I started writing, you know, over 2,000 words in a couple hours and just flowing. And I finished the book in, you know, 2.5 months. And just from the point that all started, lasted about 6 weeks to, you know, the time I finished, it was a very short period of time and completely wrote the whole, you know, book, which is 270 pages or so. And so the book was inspired by that accident, and then I was ready to write it when the pandemic hit, and that's where it all, you know, that's where it all came together.
So it's your fault we had the pandemic. God had to shut down the world to get you to do what he'd asked you to do 2 years ago. Well, so now we know who to blame for.
Yeah, there's a lot. I know a lot of other people that wrote books and did things in 2020. So I'm sure he had it orchestrated very nicely.
Blame me. It's so funny. So give me a little bit of a insight about it. What is the 12 Hours of Heaven? You know, when I first read the title, I was thinking, was it due to the car accident? Like, did you die in the car accident for 12 hours or whatever that is? So tell me a little bit of insight on the book, because I like those who are listening to know a little bit more about it and go pick it up. What's up, y'all? It's Nina here. I recently stumbled across this little thing and this absolute game changer for me. And I just had to share it with you because, hello, you know, I'd be sharing my stuff with y'all, right? This is called Magic Mind. And this little tiny elixir, y'all, this thing, okay, it's empty because Nina be drinking it, okay? This little elixir has been like my little secret weapon, and it's packed with powerful ingredients like adaptogens and nootropics and matcha. I mean, this little thing is like magic for real, okay? I've really noticed the difference. It has really helped me with my level of laser focus and productivity and reaching my goals for the day. And for someone like me who's all about living my life with intention and purpose, this is priceless. All right, this is priceless. I am totally going to recommend this to you. And you guys know I recommend only things I love and trust. Here's the best part. Magic Mind is amazing. And they have a link for you, magicmind.com/straighttalk. You can use that special discount, straighttalk20. It only has one T, straighttalk20, to get 20% off of your first time purchase for the next 10 days. If you apply that code, you are going to get up to 50% off. So head over to magicmind.com/straighttalk. Your future self is going to thank you for it, and it's going to thank me.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. And yes, it is. I've often been asked that if that is the case, and that's not the case. I do have a friend, an individual who I know since starting Iceberg Change, who I met through that he had that type of experience, 11 hours. So, you know, Jim Woodford is his name for anyone that wants to look him up. Incredible story. My story is different. My story is when I was sitting in my car, staring up at that guardian angel pin and heard this story that would become my book. It's a fictional story that was inspired by the accident, because in the accident, I felt as my, you know, my mom and others did that there was some kind of divine intervention because didn't have a scratch, right? After everything that, you know, total vehicle and how it looked and how it all went down. And so the book is a fictional story about an angel who is sent down from heaven, and he's sent down to help some different individuals on earth, and they get trapped in an elevator all together overnight for a period of 12 hours. He's trapped with 10 strangers. They're total strangers. They don't know each other, and they don't know he's an angel. And in that time, he's able to help each of them through the biggest challenge of their lives. And each of them learns a lesson along the way. And that's the subtitle, Lessons for a Better World. And some of these lessons are not anything unique to my book. One of them is practicing gratitude. Okay. Which we just talked about. So as an example, so there are things that anyone can learn, you know, that anyone can practice. There are things that I had learned after my accident. There are things that I had worked on over those 20 years. And there are things that I felt helped me in my journey and that would help others. So not only help others during the time of the pandemic, but help others at any point that right. may be going through some challenges in their lives. So a fictional story inspired by an actual event that, you know, it has that parable allegory feel, if you will, that, you know, that people can learn something and take away a great message.
That's so beautiful, right? When it's something that we wouldn't have even thought of. And then we get this like inspiration, this thought, this vision. And then it's just beautiful to me when we are people of faith or connected to God, and then we can actually receive these type of things as a gift. It is such a gift. And so I'm glad that you wrote that. I'm looking forward to picking it up myself and reading it. It sounds really interesting. And then you spoke about iSpark Change. So is that what you're doing now with people? Is iSpark Change, do you have a coaching program with that, or is that, you know, mastermind? What is iSpark Change?
So iSpark Change is a global community of individuals, businesses, organizations, nonprofits, any type of really individual entity that wants to help elevate their social impact and spread positive change, that essentially at the basis wants to make the world a better place. And in that time of that spiritual connectedness, when I was writing my book, I would wake up in the middle of the night with a flood of ideas, and I was, you know, extra creative and everything. And during one of those periods is when the idea for iSpark Change was born, because I felt that I was being, that God was calling me to not just write the book, but to do more beyond that. And the idea of sparking change is woven throughout the story, so that there is a message about that within the book. And it was something that I wanted to continue beyond that. And so after I finished, the book came out in October of 2020, that's when I launched iSpark Change and created, you know, this global community on social media and online. And for the past, you know, three plus years, we've been growing the community. We're probably about, you know, 35,000 individuals. And like I said, business organizations.
That's wonderful.
What we do is we share daily inspiration, motivation on social media. We have a podcast, the iSpark Change podcast, where we feature people that we call social impact heroes that are in essence making the world a better place. And then we spotlight them on social media, on Instagram primarily. And all of this, Nina, is creating the foundation for what will become the world's first social impact social media platform. So our vision is to morph what we have now within the next couple of years into a social media platform where everyone that's a part is there to help one another, and there to support one another, and there to contribute time or resources or energy or,
you know, this
anything towards helping others in the community. Because right now there's Facebook groups that do similar things, there's nonprofits that do similar things, there's big corporations that do this type of work. They're all fragmented all over the world.
Yep.
There's not one central hub where they can all connect. And a lot of them are in kind of self-preservation mode, honestly, where they only focus on themselves and they can't really focus. But imagine if everyone focused on making everyone better and focused on supporting the community, what a beautiful place that would be. And so we're in the process of seeking investors, building a board of advisors, a technical board. I mean, that's what we have. And I say we because, you know, I have one team member, and then I have anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 interns at a time that come on board and help. And so that's how it's been for the past 3.5 years. You know, it's just been myself and one other person, and then interns that have cycled through that have helped us,
awesome.
You know, just chip away a little bit at a time to, you know, to make this a reality.
That is such a fantastic idea. It Thank really, you. Really is. It's one of the things that I battle with a lot is social media. Because, you know, I do a lot of podcasts and I have a coaching program. And so I'm always on social media and I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah. I hate it so much. Necessary evil, right?
Yeah, it is. And sometimes I'll just like look at my VA. I'm like, she goes, I got you. I'm like, thank you. And I cannot look at another social media thing. But something like that, Rick, like what I'm trying to do with my podcast, right, is to try to only bring people on that really want to do good in the world. Mm-hmm. I think there's plenty of podcasts with negativity and, you know, fighting and cultural stuff. And that's fine. That's great. That's their niche. I love that. But mm-hmm. For me, I feel like I can go watch that for entertainment. But what I want is to build a community of people that are really trying to pour into others, right? And I have a lot of people that listen to the show. And so I want to make sure that when I bring someone like you on, it is of value to them and of value to you, right? Because that's how we serve each other, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you're doing that, Rick. I really do. So I know that I promised you we would only be on for 30 minutes or so, but I do want you to just, you know, give something to my audience for them to know or maybe get involved with what you're doing, right? Like, is there a way to get into iSpark Change community? Do you work with people one-on-one, you know, things like that? So give us a little bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking, Nina. So we have a number of different ways that people can participate. The easiest way is to go to isparkchange.com, join the community. We send out a monthly newsletter. That's it. We don't send out a bunch of spam or anything, but it just shares the social impact spotlights of the month, you know, things that are going on with the podcast and everything like that. They can follow iSpark Change podcast. And then any platform where the letter I, sparkchange.com on any platform. Instagram is our most active.
Okay.
I also do coaching, as you mentioned. So I do one-on-one coaching. I've done group coaching. We've had a community that we've, you know, kind of cycled through and then stop and then, you know, kind of have started again at different points, depending on attendance. So, you know, anyone can contact if they reach out on our website or they reach out on social media. I respond to all of those. And the individuals that I work with primarily are, as I said from the beginning, are people that are looking to become better. And right. Prior to starting iSpark Change, I had been a business coach and consultant for a number of years, and I still am. So I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. I work with a lot of business owners. I work with a lot of executives on growing and scaling their businesses. That's
good.
My background and expertise. That's what I've done. And then I like to, since iSpark Change, I add that added component of having purpose in your work, on having impact in your work, and not just being an entrepreneur or a business for profit, doing it for purpose and for making the world a better place. And that's an important part for me and for essentially everyone I work with. That's an important component. So
that's awesome. Well, Rick, I am really, really happy that you came on and you shared all of these, you know, great nuggets, right? And so I know that my audience is really, really good. They'll email me all the time. They DM me all the time just to let me know, oh, I love this conversation. This was really awesome, blah, blah, blah. So I think they're really going to love this because you're just real and authentic and that you're really trying to impact the world in a really great way, which is what my community is all about. And so I'm really excited that you came on. Your book, can we get that like on Amazon or did you get that on your website or where can they grab the book?
Yes. Thank you for asking. So it is on Amazon. It's on Amazon in paperback and Kindle version. It's also on Google Play and an audiobook. So if someone wants an audiobook version, they can go there. And then lastly, if they go to isparkchange.com or rickornellis.com, they'll find the links there to the book as well. And if they'll find out more about myself, about, you know, if they want me to speak at an event or coaching, all of those things they can find on either website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rick. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you. I really do.
It's been a pleasure and honor. As I said, Nina, thank you very much. Great conversation.
I love it. I love it. Guys, I told you, right? Another good human. Another good human. So make sure that you guys follow Rick. I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below so you don't miss anything. Okay. So make sure you like, share, subscribe. You all know the deal. Keep us growing so that we can keep getting really good people on here. All right, guys. I love you so much. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.